Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Stars with a terrific 2 points tonight in Las Vegas, but unfortunately marred by the injury to Miro Heiskanen, and we will see what happens. And joining us is the greatness of Robert Tiffin, starsthoughts.com, and you can follow him at Robert Tiffin. He also writes for D Magazine. Let's start with that. Yeah, 2 points is terrific, but just a real, real tough situation. And I'm guessing, Robert, we'll probably find out more maybe Thursday since the team is off tomorrow.
That'd be my guess. In fact, I'd say people should hope to hear back on Thursday, because if we hear back sooner, it's probably because there's a real serious thing and they know exactly what the problem is. But yeah, they'll probably know tomorrow, and maybe they even know tonight, you know, whether it's, you know, an MCL or something like that. But if there's only any good news, it's probably that the Four Nations break is coming up. Of course, that's bad news for Finland, who has a really thin defense group as it is. But there may be some time for Heiskanen here, but we'll see. Obviously, there's just a lot we don't know, but it sure looked bad.
Let's clarify for those that don't know, as far as you were really good about tweeting the play and then talking about a clipping penalty. And Robert, correct me if I'm wrong, since it was initially called a minor, if it's called a major initially, then they can review it to downgrade it to a minor, but it can't be the opposite way.
Exactly right. And we've seen that earlier this year, where it seems pretty clear that the officials know it's probably not a major, but they call a major so that they have the opportunity to review it, which maybe is a testament that the system still needs some fixing. But you have to give them credit that they're at least trying to use every part of the system to get the call right. In this case, the thing I think that was also a little bit confusing for fans is that even the broadcasters on ESPN were saying, well, yeah, it's tripping. I don't know what you call that. Such a weird play. And there is a very specific penalty in the rule book for exactly this sort of thing called clipping. And that does allow for a major to be called, after which they could downgrade it. Clipping can be a minor or a major. So you could call clipping for 5 minutes, review it, and then downgrade it to 2 minutes if you think maybe, oh, Roope Hintz's stick tripped him. And so he was so off balance that his poke check just went wrong. And, you know, I personally, for me, you look at that play, though, I think you can see pretty clearly that Stone plants, even after he gets Hintz's kind of stick on his left skate on the flyby, it seems pretty clear that Stone plants on his right foot for kind of a desperation lunge with his stick, trying to poke the puck off Heiskanen's stick. To be clear, it doesn't seem like Stone's trying to injure anyone or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah.
But either way, the way he lunges in that position throws his body into Heiskanen's knees or below his knees. And that's the definition of clipping, is a hit at or below.
Yeah. Knees. So I think there is a difference, because I think you pointed it out really well right now. I think there is intention, and then there's just a darn bad hockey play. And I thought that was a bad hockey play. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think the intention, you know, was there. I understand because it is Mark Stone. I understand because of the history of these teams back and forth. I think it's a very debatable issue, and I think that what's going to be very interesting. Now, as far as the league review, they'll obviously look at it, Robert, but I'm guessing based on whether or not people think it was a trip, based on the stick hitting the skate and throwing Stone off balance, even though you're right, he did look like he replanted. I think what's interesting is the legal look at it, but I, to me, it would be pretty hard, maybe a fine, but I don't think we'd look at a suspension for something like this.
I think that's probably right, just given the fact that Stone, he's a gritty player, and there are times where he played the edge and stuff like that. But I'd be surprised if we saw anything like a suspension. And again, that's not, you know, as far as the Stars are concerned in the moment, right? You want something, you see your best guy go down. We'll see what Pete DeBoer says. I think he just had his media availability, but you see your best defenseman go down and on a play where
the
player is clearly not where they're supposed to be, right? That's not really a normal hockey play. So of course, in the moment, the Stars are going to be angry and want some sort of justice, and a 2-minute minor doesn't feel like it. But the other side of it is that they did end up getting the win because one of their other best players stepped up big time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we need to give him props because he's terrific, and we forget how young he is and the composure, and he just does everything well. And that's, you know, it's so interesting because you watch and it's not like it's a McDavid or a McKinnon that just when they're on the ice, it's just flashes of brilliance, but he really does everything so right. And what's so funny is this is typical Wyatt Johnston in the post game. He's upset because he lost the initial faceoff, which gave Vegas that puck possession and a terrific save by Ottinger on Shea Theodore.
Yeah, it's also funny because Johnston probably knows that winning that faceoff would have put him at 8 for 16, so he would have at least been 50%. But instead he went 7 for 16, so he's below 50%, right? So
yeah,
competitive guys like him know what number they're at. But yeah, this whole game, Wyatt Johnston was just incredible. It's when you think about the fact that he's 21 years old and he's going up against Tomas Hertl, Mark Stone, Jack Eichel, and then the huge Vegas decor. Wyatt Johnston's not a big guy. He's maybe what, about six feet, maybe 6'1". And he just looks like he's still able to do everything he wants to do. And for him to win the game the way he did tonight, is just, it's impossible to overstate how fantastic he was tonight. Although I'd also say that when he and Roope Hintz got put together, I think at the start of the third period, that was a really big move too, when DeBoer reunited them, because it allowed Hintz to create a lot of space for Johnston as well, like you saw in the overtime goal.
I've always liked how Pete DeBoer shuffles his lines. I just feel as though in the past, maybe I thought it was sometimes a quick trigger by Bones or Jim Montgomery. But at the same time, I just feel as though one thing I want to give credit to Pete DeBoer, because it's very easy to knock coaches and like lack of power play efficiency, although it, you know, it's come on in January, but you know, my point is that I just continue to, you know, I want to applaud Pete DeBoer for a lot of the moves that he makes, Robert, are the right moves. And strategically, like, it's not like, you know, the game is whizzing by him. You're right. It was a move that a lot of people might not notice, but it was crucial in this game to put them together.
Yeah, DeBoer even said a couple games ago, I can't remember if it was Vegas last week or maybe the St. Louis game in that back-to-back set, but I think it might have been Vegas where he said that he had started out with Lindell up with Heiskanen, and then after the first period, he switched the defense pairs to move Harley up with Heiskanen. And he said, when we asked him about that afterwards, he said, the defense pair was the first thing we switched, and if that hadn't worked, then we were going to shuffle the forward lines as well. But they didn't need to shuffle the forward lines because they had that really great second period against Vegas the other night. And in this one, he waited till the third period to put Hintz back up on the top line, because it was just that, right? It's just a small little tweak because he wants to change one specific thing, and that's all it took, right? The other lines pretty much stayed intact. That fourth line was really good for Dallas tonight, the times they were used. You're exactly right that he doesn't just change lines just to change things unless it's really bad, like it was early in the year here and there. He has very specific ideas, and tonight it worked out great.
Yeah. One thing I want to point out, and I think some people will disagree with me, the cameras caught Mark Stone like smiling or laughing on the bench. Timing tough for that camera coming to him. But in my opinion, he was saying to his coaches with the tablet in front of him, like the equivalent of what I'm about to do, like, hey, look, I I got tripped. Mm-hmm. And it looked as though, I don't think he was laughing about it. So yeah. it's just tough all around. We'll hear from Mark Stone, I'm sure, about this. It's just tough all around. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is, it's even to me, it's like tonight's not the night to talk LTIR and, what to do now and everything like that. No, first, we need to assess the injury
and
see how long he's out for.
Yeah.
But kudos to the team for rallying too, because, mm-hmm. They all saw it and, kudos to them for responding. I think that line of Barbashev and Eichel certainly is a problem, but I think, you could also say the, Rupe Hintz is a problem for them. Matt Duchesne's a problem for them. Matt Duchesne coming up on 30 assists, or he does have 30 assists now. That's just, just continues to get it done, and he's pretty banged up right now. So it was interesting because I was gonna message you at the beginning of the game, Robert, and say no more days off for this team because they did not come out. They need to be tired because they play better when they're tired.
That Eichel line, that Eichel Barbashev line was tearing them apart at the start of the game. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, with even the first goal that was called back for offside, I mean, they just picked up right where they left off, scored again, I think, on the next shift. It was just unreal. So I actually think Jake Oettinger deserves a lot of credit too, because of how slowly they started in this game. He was under siege, and he, I think it was three of the first four shots he faced went in, even though one of them was called back.
Yeah.
And a lot of coaches would consider pulling the goalie in a situation like that, right? Not even because it's necessarily his fault. I think you look at that, it's hard to really blame him for too many of those. Maybe the first goal, actually, I might say he wasn't even close to that glove side goal that got called back by Barbashev. It was a good shot, though. But Oettinger, from that point on, really did. I mean, the only other goal he gave up was that 5-on-3 goal that, that's a tough one on any goalie, right? When you get a look right from there. And then he had a couple huge saves, including that one on Theodore right at the start of overtime. So I think Jake Oettinger deserves a lot of credit for hanging in this game so that he was there to make a big save at the end, because a lot of goalies would have gotten rattled early and their coach would have had to take him out. But DeBoer trusted Oettinger to kind of settle things down, and he did, and he ended up saving the game.
Yeah. Tough, because in today's NHL, they call it so tight, and you brought up a great tweet regarding it seemed as though the player was already going down, or clearly lunging forward when Bischel and
Bischel penalty.
The Bischel penalty for tripping. If you do look, the stick does make a small amount of contact with it. And it's similar with the Lyubushkin. Yes. I mean, technically in today's NHL, and Ray Ferraro pointed it out, not when I was playing, but today that's a penalty.
Yeah, that Lyubushkin penalty to put him on the 5-on-3, that was hard. Obviously, as a team, you always want to see something really black and white. But you slash a guy in the hands, the refs are going to call it. So that's really just a situation where I think if you're a coach, you look at Lyubushkin and say, what did you think was going to happen? You got to keep the stick a little lower.
Yeah.
If you're going to be whacking it, because that gives the refs the opportunity to consider making the call. And it's just... yes, you're desperate. You're trying to do anything you can. That first call, I agree. There's a little bit more there. It's not like I even went back and deleted the tweet because the word dive in there I thought was kind of unfair. I think what's most likely is that the player whose name I'm forgetting, it ends in Bjerg, right? He goes down. He's trying to turn the corner on Bischel, and Bischel kind of is reaching in with his stick. And his stick might have gotten a piece of his skate initially. And I think what he's really trying to do is pivot and plant and kind of turn the corner on Bischel. And so he's leaning a little bit and off balance. And so that's why he ends up going down the way he does after the whatever contact there was. Still seemed like a little bit of a more situational call, right? Player with the puck trying to get around and goes down. Again, you aren't in the best position, then you give the refs the opportunity to decide whether or not to make that call. And that's always going to be a tough one.
Right. Cool. Let's get to a few tweets. It's late at night, and Robert's so kind of us to join us. Once again, starsthoughts.com. Terrific website for everything of your daily stars. I almost don't want to crack a Frosty tonight because it doesn't feel, I feel good, but I don't feel good.
I split the difference and brought a sparkling water because it feels kind of like you get the celebratory noise, but then the sober, literally the sober experience of the drink. So I felt like it was the appropriate way to kind of toe the line.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to make the following disclaimer. The following tweets are pointed at me and not Robert Tiffin.
All right. It's my kind of, see, if only Twitter were always like that, that'd be great.
I think just to point it out, like Robert's and I thoughts are a little bit different, but I think that's okay because I do think that this play that Stone made on Haskinen, we both agree it was a bad hockey play. And I think you could see both sides. So I'm just going to leave it at that. Like, it's not like, I just don't. I love you Stars fans, but I'm not the enemy. You know, I mean, I'm just, it's one of those things where it happens in, unfortunately.
You know what it, you know what it reminded me of is like a lot of kneeing majors when players get tossed for a knee.
The
vast majority of knees aren't because a player is going around knee hunting, right? That's, you're also putting your knee in harm's way when you do that. So most players don't get big kneeing penalties because they're going around trying to intentionally injure a player. It's because they realize they're about to get beat and they just instinctively reach out a leg because they want to get, they don't want to get beat clean. So they want to try to get some sort of piece of the player. And you instinctively put the knee out and it can go really wrong. And I think in this case, that's probably, it's certainly what it looks like Stone is doing. He's a really good player who's desperate not to let Haskinen break out of the zone. And the Knights are really good about hampering the Stars breakouts all night long. In this one, especially early in the third period, Dallas could not get the puck into the Golden Knights zone with possession because Vegas was so good at preventing that. But you see Stone, once he, you know, is a little bit off balance, he lunges out of desperation, but he's lunging for the puck. He's not throwing himself into Haskinen's knees intentionally. It's not a check, right? It turns into one, and he's still responsible for himself. And that's where I think I'd be more inclined to say you're still responsible for that play. And because the play led to an injury, that's why there's a rule that says it could be a major penalty, especially if there's an injury for clipping. So that's all I want to say. I don't think it's necessarily intentional, but I think there's precedent for major penalties being assessed just because of a player instinctively trying to get a piece of a guy.
And I think we both agree. Call it a major. And then go look at it. And if you deem that the trip caused, then you can reduce it to a minor. Mm-hmm. You know, that certainly could have been done from the hockey play. All right. Carson Moore. We're going to get a bunch of these. Mark Stone can say he's innocent, but even after he toe picked from Rope's stick, he still had to push off his right skate and then lunge left directly into Miro's knee. That's a dirty play. And I hope Ben Dumba Bishel get retribution if they're going to meet again in the playoffs.
I would not suggest Jamie Benn go after Mark Stone again.
Yeah, I would not suggest that either. Boy, that's a great point. Yeah. So listen, the two teams don't play each other again for this year. And I will say the following. Retribution, if there are any, rarely happens. And I'm not bringing this up because it's Mark Stone. But remember, even though Jamie Benn said the following year it was a momentum fight, Nicholas Hague asked when Ben did what he did to Stone, nothing happened the rest of the playoffs. The opening game happened to be in Vegas. Nicholas Hague asked Ben to fight. Ben took the fight, which is the responsible thing to do. And, you know, they drew and it was in the second period. And that's when it was the right moment. When there's a right moment, if they deem it appropriate, then they'll go. But if they meet in the playoffs, will it be heated? Maybe, but I don't foresee like retribution happening in playoffs. Mm-hmm. And by retribution, I just mean dropping the gloves. Cause that's how they,
Yeah. I mean, I could see something happening at some point, whether someone, you know, lays a big hit on him or something, but I think even Dallas players, you know, in the moment they want something right more than just the 2 minutes, but it's not like he's going around throwing elbows or headhunting, right? Or hitting from behind or something like
Absolutely.
That. It's a little bit of a weird play. And again, Jamie Benn got preemptive retribution on Mark Stone 2 years ago. That lasts. I think Stone has kind of a little bit of a blank check for accidental things for a little bit. So that's not to make light of it, obviously. We hope his skin is just sore and comes back soon. You know, knee sprains, there's different grades. If it's like an MCL sprain or something like that, there's different grades. So hopefully he's back soon. The break's coming up, so maybe he just needs a few games and he's back. Who knows? But let's maybe not start sending people out to do vigilante justice.
Right. Hey, kudos to Rupe Hintz for curling around and, you know, I mean, I like to see that. That was
he's been doing that lately. Yeah.
He has been. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to see that. And you know, the other interesting thing that I'm seeing every game, it seems like someone wants to go with Bischel every game. Like someone, like people want to be the initial. And to his credit, he's not going there. Before we get to more tweets, I will say about Bischel is that what I absolutely love is the checks that he are making are so effective as far as moving the player off the puck. That's a skill set. And I know he's big, so it's easier, you know, to do. And he's a strong kid. But at the same time, you have to do it correctly. And he really does, you know, when he wants to hit somebody, it's a very effective check.
Yeah. Bischel is, you can tell, even in talking to him, I'll say he's got a sense of humor. He's not some wide-eyed kind of out of his depth player. This is his second decent NHL call-up, right? He's not just here for one game. This is his, third game at least, maybe fourth in this call-up. It's clear that he thinks he belongs in the NHL, and his play has shown it. And I think that helps him in those moments, whether he's been being challenged to a fight he doesn't think he has to give. He doesn't feel like he has a whole lot to prove in some ways. And that's really been a big advantage for him, because he doesn't get trapped into being a certain sort of player. He gets to decide what sort of player he wants to be. And when he plays his game, he's a very effective player, as you saw tonight, where he played, he played almost 16 minutes against a good team in a one goal game, or, you know, basically a one goal game against a possible, you know, Western Conference final opponent. That's really, really impressive for a 20-year-old defenseman in this league. You can't say enough how impressive that is.
Absolutely.
I will say on there was one goal, I think it might've been the Knights' second goal, he was up closer to the faceoff circle when I think it was Nick Hague took the puck to the net, and then Dumba went off and tried to throw a hit on him, and then Hurdle tucked the rebound. There's an argument to be made that Bischel maybe should have gone to the net when he saw Hague go into the net. I don't actually think Bischel would have been in there in time to clean up the rebound, because the rebound bounced below the goal line, and that's where Hurdle was to tuck it home, because Dumba left him to hit Hague. But I do think Bischel, in retrospect, would say, I didn't end up really doing much standing there while the guy skated around the zone and Hague took it to the net. So if there's one criticism on one of the goals, I might say that there's probably a more effective way Bischel could defend there. But overall, he had a really solid game.
And there is something interesting that I did want to bring up with you as far as that Nicholas Hague goal kind of reminded me. And not every player in the NHL is 6'5". But it does seem as though players are able to circle in, let's just say, without, you know, getting pushed toward the board, so they can't make that. And Hague's like, you know, he's not the fastest skater, but he's clearly big. And then you have Thomas Hurdle, who gives the Stars problem because of his size.
Yeah, and so, Dumba's the one at the front of the net who's on Hurdle. And then I think Duchesne was kind of following Hague. And, you know, Duchesne's a great skater, but he's not going to out-muscle someone like Hague. And he wasn't quite able to get the puck either, which is a good job by Hague, too, of stick handling. But there's a reason Nick Hague only has 3 assists all season. This isn't something he's really known for, but he was able to do it because the Stars, you know, outside of Bischel, weren't really that huge on the ice at that point.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Let's see. By the way, first time that the Stars were down after 2 periods and came back and won. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Also, all 4 goals scored by rookies, Maverick Bork, and then 3 by, or not by rookies.
Oh, I'm yeah.
Sorry. But players 21 Bork might be 22, but they're very, very young. When you throw Bork in with there, it's funny. Bork is actually the rookie compared to Johnston, even though Bork is older than him. But right. Yeah. It's when you think Maverick Bork and Wyatt Johnson combining for 4 goals, that's something the Stars are really hoping for at the start of this year, would maybe be a nightly occurrence. But hey, if it happens in the second half, they'll still be really happy.
And maybe it's because of the injury to Tyler Seguin, Robert, but at the same time, I do appreciate the patience of the Stars, because we've talked on this program about maybe send Maverick to Bork down for a weekend and, you know, kind of get his confidence going. They stuck with him, and it seems like he's really responding.
Really has that. And that was a chance too. He sent it 5 hole, I think, on that first goal on a great pass from Duchesne, but he went to the right spot. He found open ice in the middle right there, and he fired it with confidence in a good spot, kept it low. And it, you know, Hill wasn't, I still think Hill probably would say, I should have had that, but there is that space. If the goalie's not down the butterfly between the stick and the skate, And he found it and put it there. So good on Bork for firing it with confidence and going to the right spot. He wasn't just playing perimeter. He was in the right spot. That's what you want to see. And it seems like his confidence has really grown because he's gotten that chance to stick in the top six and show he belongs there.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. No, sorry, but Stone dove into Miro is Cameron. Dylan Moreland, I know he's tripped a bit, but there's still a clear lunge at Miro's knee. Possible retribution for the Ben cross check. No, we'll never know either way.
That would be really impressive if in the moment that's what Stone thought in that split second. Oh, whoops, I got tripped, but I will use this chance to lunge into this guy's legs and maybe it's just. Yeah.
So
that's not what he's doing. It's not a good play, but it's not what he was thinking.
Right. I did back in 2015. Mark Stone was suspended for a couple of games, but the reputation of Mark Stone is not a bad one. And the other thing that probably did lead to this is Mark Stone is a never give up kind of guy, and a lot of times he makes those like hustle gritty plays, and I can't say it enough. Both Robert and I agree it was a bad hockey play. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether or not the stick altered and he went down tripping, we both feel as though, he possibly could have maneuvered his body differently, but at the same time, it is what it is.
Frankly, the thing I'm, aside from obviously Haskinen's health being the top concern, aside from that, the thing I'm most disappointed about that play is that clipping is such a rare penalty to begin with.
Yeah.
It was one time where I thought, all right, hey, we're going to see this rare penalty called. And then they call tripping, even though it's clearly clipping. And so part of me just wanted to see kind of the novelty of the call to begin with, because it's so rarely called. But maybe they were just hesitant to do that because clipping is usually used as a major and they didn't want to go that level or something.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're the only person that brought it up and you posted the rule. And I thought that was great. Mm-hmm. That was wonderful. And that's why we all have to follow Robert Tiffin on Twitter. Christopher DeHardy says, toss your caps for our future captain. Boy, that's interesting. Wyatt Johnston is the future captain.
It is.
And that's a discussion for another day. Let's see what happens with Jamie Benn first.
Yeah. I'll also say a player, I mean, Wyatt Johnston wore a letter for a game earlier this year, and I think we might have even talked about that, what DeBoer said about that and everything. So DeBoer certainly sees Johnston as that sort of player long term. Mm-hmm. But Roope Hintz, who also wears an A regularly for the Stars, had primary assists in all three of Johnston's goals. He was the guy who curled around and stood up and got involved with Stone after the hit on Haskinen. Hintz was massive in this game. I mean, when you look at it, his assist to Johnston in overtime was huge. Obviously, he had to like chip the puck over a couple of sticks to get it back to Johnston. And that's why Johnston was so wide open, because everyone was kind of trying to close down on Hintz, expecting a shot. And then Hintz chips it all the way. You can see Johnston even kind of trap the puck between his legs to settle it before he then skates it into the empty net. But the shorthanded goal, I think, was even bigger, because the Vegas had just gone up 3-1 a couple minutes ago on that 5-on-3 penalty. And then Hintz makes a great, great read to intercept a puck in the zone while shorthanded. And you can even see him like look for a second and kind of decide, do I want to go? And then he goes, and he's so fast. He's such a great skater that he's still, even though he was almost, he had kind of one step as he intercepted it, but it wasn't like he was at full speed, but he and Johnston still outpaced everyone and kept it a 2-on-1 the entire way down the ice. And then he fired a really smart shot on that shorthanded chance too. I wonder maybe if that's exactly what he was shooting for, was a rebound for Johnston, because he kind of fired it towards the far pad and Johnston was right there to put the rebound in.
So yeah.
Roope Hintz deserves a lot of credit for his game tonight too. I thought he was just fantastic.
Yeah, I thought he was,
especially in the third period when the Stars needed him the most.
Yeah, absolutely. He's terrific. And I don't mean this in a disparaging way, but and maybe it has to do with him being closer to the net. I just feel like he's playing bigger now. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like he was always known as a skill player, but I mean, I see that with a lot of the Stars, and I don't know if it's an initiative or it's just the physicality as far as the teams they're playing, Robert, but they didn't have it as much tonight, but when they got on the run, you saw them getting in front of Adin Hill, and I know Jamie Benn was upset he didn't have one tip, but just the fact that they're getting into that area, to me, they're one of the more effective teams in the NHL when they play that style of game. Sometimes they have a tendency to shoot from the outside, but you're just not seeing that as much anymore.
Yeah, and that's really the way their game is built. It, you know, Carolina is a great contrast to them. Carolina fires pucks from all over the ice. That's kind of their game, is just constantly getting pucks on net with traffic, having guys there looking for rebounds. Dallas is much more about creating those chances interior and even holding the puck a little longer and looking for them. And when Roope Hintz, and I've had Jason Robertson to that category too, they're both players who are not small. If you meet them in real life, they're big guys, and you can see it on the ice sometimes. But when they're at their best, they look as big as they actually are. And I thought Hintz looked really massive tonight. You could really tell.
Yeah, absolutely. Steven says, Wyatt is awesome. Anyway, how do we carry on pretending to normally go about our lives when there's a void left by one Miro Heiskanen? So I would say this, Steven, from my experience, wait until the results are in. Yes, it looks gruesome. However, wait, and then regarding the cap flexibility, I'll just not go into detail, but they do have proper space if they need to make moves. But right now the concern is for number four, and hopefully it is not as bad as it appears. Let's just cross our fingers and see. Tim says, I appreciate the sentiment that the media is calming the rhetoric, but you don't dive into a player's knee. No way that was enough for the knee bend and push off. Chris Barnard says, you know, maybe we should revisit the idea of Trouba. No. Aaliyah, who would be the best target defensively if it's Miro's ACL to do a more serious MCL? I will say this, Aaliyah, I'm not one to quickly talk about replacements until we get the injury, but I promise you when we do, we'll on Spits and Suds come out with possible potential trade targets. But remember, even though you have the space, you got to give to get.
Well, and you're not replacing Miro Heiskanen. There's not another Miro Heiskanen out there to get. There's not even a discount Miro Heiskanen out there to get. He's one of those sorts of players who can play a ton of minutes, who can play in all situations, and the Stars are built around players like him. I mean, he's a pillar of how they play. You could tell in the third period, it took Wyatt Johnson and Roope Hintz stepping up to get him back in the game and get him to overtime, because they were shaken without Heiskanen. I think Thomas Harley played like 27 minutes tonight because he had to play a ton in the third period. And after that, you know, Esa Lindell is a rock and everything like that, but he's not a Heiskanen. They don't have another Miro Heiskanen. Leon Bischel is not another Miro Heiskanen. He's not even close to it right now, and that's okay. That's not a knock on Bischel. He's a great young player. But Miro Heiskanen is so unique. I guarantee you all 32 teams in the league wish they had, the other 31, I should say, wish they had Heiskanen. So however long he's out, hope it's just a week or two at worst, right? Just a mild strain. That's probably what you want to hope. But even if it's a little bit longer, you're not replacing him. And I will say too, with the playoffs still over 2 months away from starting, I knock on wood, but most, you know, MCL type things, and given that Heiskanen was sort of putting not really weight on it, I mean, you could tell he knew something was wrong. But once we know more, we'll see. But I think it's unlikely that Heiskanen's going to be out for all the playoffs. That's just a guess. But just based on what we saw in the broadcast, I'd say it's likely that the Stars aren't looking to completely replace him, you know, for a game in May or June. I think that's not what we're likely to be talking about. But, you know, who knows? I'm not a doctor, so we'll see.
Right, exactly. And once again, we'll say that probably we'll hear more on Thursday. Crow Wi-Fi, Johnson had such a determined look on his face after that second goal. He was in a zone. He's so good. He is. Let's see. Carter says the team is deep enough to still make the playoffs without Miro. Hopefully he's not that badly injured, but it means probably not Western Conference Finals or a later run. I mean, let's see what happens. Alternately, though, think about this. You have Miro and Sagan on LTIR and load up before the trade deadline. No reason that can't work. I guess I have to do a deep dive on LTIR and how many players you can use it on.
No, they could put them both in LTIR if they had to. There's not like a limit to it. The thing is, you just can't bring in players to use that space if you're going to reactivate them before the end of the season.
Yes.
So, because you need to create that space again. So it's not like you could, let's say in some fantasy land, you bring in like Rasmus Anderson or something to quote unquote replace Heiskanen, and you put him on LTIR for whatever the minimum time is, 30 to 45 days or something like that. You right. couldn't bring Heiskanen back before game one of the playoffs if you did that. But I don't think that's likely anyway. Again, I think it's unlikely to me that he's out the entire, you know, the another 32 games. That'd be a really severe injury. Again, anything's possible. Who knows? It's obviously not good. He missed the entire game. That's already concerning. But we'll see. But yeah, even if you do that, I think you'd really hope that they don't have to put Heiskanen on an LTIR and use that space, because that would mean he is out for at least the season, if not the playoffs too.
Yeah. Bubba Knocker, very messy game at the start. Yeah, we agree on that. But the team hunkered down, beat a really good Vegas team. Yes, a very good Vegas team. Thought that Stone was tripped, yes, but I've never seen a play who's at near standstill seemingly lunge accidentally at a player's knee. Yeah, I think the thing also to point out is Stone's size in that. You know, mm-hmm. that is really, really tough on the knee and how it buckled. Let's see. Another tweeter called "There Are Those Who Call Me Tim." What ticks me off the most here is Stone's left skate, the skate that Hintz makes contact with, maintains full contact with the ice through the stick tap, and then he swings it off the ice when he dives toward the puck. Just a bad play. Definitely was a bad play. Jordan says, Wyatt is C1. It's great to see him carry this team. I don't support making blockbuster deals if Miro is gone for the rest of the year. Dallas needs a Norris caliber defenseman to win the cup, and he's the only one we have. You know, interesting, Robert, in the short term, I'm interested to see they play Vancouver on Friday. What happens with Nils Lundqvist? Because in my opinion, and I'm not saying like, there's no comparison between Nils Lundqvist and Miro Heiskanen, but if you're asking me another puck carrying defenseman on the roster, it would be Harley and then Nils Lundqvist.
That's a good point. I do think if Heiskanen misses time, then I think Lundqvist is very likely to get more time, because they do need someone who can traverse the zone. And that Lundqvist Lindell pairing has been good at times this year. I think you can also afford, isn't really the right word, but you don't mind having a smaller player in the lineup, because it's not like Heiskanen's a bigger player anyway. So I don't think Lundqvist it compounds the look of your lineup being smaller when he's coming in while Heiskanen is out, the way he would if he's coming in instead of, you know, Bischel or Dumba or something like that.
Sam Green at Spamula Green. Here we go. This will make Robert sleep well tonight. I really appreciated the breakdown from Robert and David Castillo. Who's David Castillo? Never heard of him.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, on the hit. Love you, David. I think David said it well. You can have both a trip and a dirty play, but we can't judge intent. And Robert's phenomenal breakdown on how the play should have been called. Blessed to have them. There you go.
I mean, he's not wrong, right? He's blessed to have me. He heard it there. Yep. Can we make that into a t-shirt or something? That's great. Yeah, we'll see. You know, everyone gets hot in the middle of games and everyone wants to be the expert and stuff. And I sometimes am a little bit of a rule book nerd, although I don't always get it right, of course. So it's fun in the moment, but we'll see. I'm sure there'll be a lot of discourse tomorrow about it and everything. So there'll be a lot better breakdowns than that tomorrow. But
yeah, absolutely. Fun in the moment. And I think you were terrific tonight. Thank you so much for explaining it to Stars fans. I mean, this is just an example of how good StarsThoughts.com are, and the way you posted it, and the way that you explained the clipping penalty. And it's fascinating. It's going to be a debate. It's a storyline. And we will see. And unfortunately, the Stars get 2 points, but, you know, it's one of those things that it's tough to talk about when we have a situation like Miro's. Yeah. Let's see. Gregory Finley pointed out, NHL Public Relations tweeted out, Wyatt Johnston scored the last 3 goals for the Dallas Stars, became the league's 8th player on record to score a shorthanded tally and an overtime winner in a hat trick performance. So there we go.
There you go.
Little history. My friend, thank you so much. And once again, thank you so much for the breakdown. We'll see how it happens. But everyone needs to follow StarsThoughts.com, because you'll have the latest on Miro as well as other stories. And you can also follow him because he tweets it out all the time, at Robert Tiffin. And he also writes for D Magazine. You the man, buddy.
Thanks, Gavin. And I'll just throw in one other plug because I'm moving actually this week. I'm transitioning the site to a Substack model because I've been doing this kind of mostly full time all year, but I'm finally figuring out a way to actually do it full time for the rest of the year and for the future. And that means I need someone to pay me. And so it makes more sense to ask people to pay a little bit than to try to find some other place to do it. So anyway, look for that. If you're into it, give it a look. And if you want to support it, then I'd appreciate that. I use the money to pay rent and eat food, which are two of my favorite things to do. So if it's your jam, please, I'd love your support. If not, check it out and tell me why you don't want to give me any of your money. That's cool too.
Do you know when that's going to go live?
By Thursday, tomorrow or Thursday.
Okay. All right. Well,
you can still go to the site. It'll still be the site. Go to starsots.com. It'll just have a little bit of a different look, and some things, there'll be some extra things for paid supporters and things like that too, but still going to be great coverage, still full time, still on the beat, still there in person, talking to players, coaches, and everyone. This is the way I finally figured out how I can hopefully do this for the foreseeable future. So pretty excited about
that's
it.
Great.
And looking forward to continuing to join you guys here as well. Always a good time.
It's worth the money. And we will plug it as it comes out, and we will have you back on the show. And congratulations on that. That's awesome. So thanks again for joining us, bud.
Thanks, Gavin.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Spits and Suds. For Robert Tiffin, I'm Gavin Spittle. We'll be back with another episode soon right here on Spits and Suds. Until then, have a great day, everyone.